on the inside. She got the scoop on the ones to watch, on the ones that's hot. No one can do it quite like Caroline. Caroline. No one can do it quite like Caroline. It's time for Caroline.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to Hyper Caroline Hobby. I am your host, Caroline Hobby. I know music, I know people, and I know the questions you want to ask. So let's get hyper. Heads up, these are adults having adult conversations, so there could be adult content. You guys, I am super excited. I have April Tomlin joining me. This woman is the hottest interior designer in Nashville. She designs every major star's house, pretty much. I'm not even kidding you. From Jason Aldean and Brittany, his wife, to Thomas Rhett and Lauren, to Tyler Hubbard and his wife, Haley, Jesse James Decker. She has done so many houses, and I'm just scratching the surface. She is so fantastic. Her view on life is amazing. She's a new mom. She talks all about balancing motherhood and her major career. She's awesome. Here she is, April Tomlin. Hey, April Tomlin.
Hi.
What's up, girl?
Oh, you know, not much. Just momming it out before I got here. That's about it. Momming and working.
Momming and working. Okay, so we were talking earlier, and you really are, you've been in every celebrity's bedroom. You're the celebrity interior designer to the stars, which is amazing.
Yeah, I don't know about that. That's super kind, but I have been in quite a few bedrooms.
You've been in Tyler and Haley Hubbard's from Florida Georgia Line, Thomas Rhett and Lauren. Yeah. You did the Aldeans, Jason and Brittany. Yeah. I know you just did Jesse James Decker and her husband Eric, who's a new Titan.
Yeah,
exciting.
Yeah, he is.
You helped us do our house.
Yeah, I did.
So we got to get into how you got into the celeb world, but I want to start off with a few questions rapid fire.
Perfect, go.
So in 10 words or less, describe your interior design style.
Gosh, that in 10 words or less. Okay. That's really hard because I have a pretty eclectic, but for me personally, so if you look at, you know, Jason Aldean has a totally different style than Jesse James, than they all have very different styles.
So you have to work with their personalities.
For sure. Yours, you know, you have a super eclectic style. You like woods and colors and things like that, which I'm not known for, but when a client asks for something, that's what we, you know, we tend to do. But we do put, we do a little pushback. But I would say for me personally, I like pretty natural, organic, collected.
What does collected mean?
Collected, like I like finding like old pieces and just mixing them into a modern piece and then rustic. So if you like, my dream home would be a little rustic, a little collected, meaning like I might like a weird old lady's face above my bed. Dude, and my husband.
Bless you. Every night.
Yeah. And my husband would be like, why in the world is that old lady staring at me while I go to bed? But I love that sort of thing. But I also like really sleek and clean. Like, I don't like a lot of fuss and a lot of junk. So that's really weird when you say collected, because it's like simple collected. It can't just be stuff everywhere.
Do you use the collected as accents? Like accent pieces?
Yeah. Collected, I usually like more in art form.
Okay. Like a painting or a picture.
Yeah. To seem old and like more of a modern space is what I like. For if it was me to put in like an older piece, or currently above my bed is this photograph of a bunch of nuns smoking cigarettes.
So, that's amazing.
So it's just weird, odd things like that that I like. But then the rest of my bedroom's pretty like normal, you know. So that's how I would describe my personal aesthetic. But then when we meet with a client, obviously we're going to do whatever, you know, they like. But we put our own flair on it, our own taste, you know, on it. So, yeah.
To that question, I actually have a question to that.
Yeah.
How do you merge your vision with this, your client's vision? Because what if the client's vision is tacky?
So we vet out a little bit.
What does that mean?
So we talk to the clients before, and we have a range, you know,
of how like far
how
you'll
far
go
we'll
away
go.
From your comfort
yes,
zone.
Yes, yeah, and no matter who they are, you know, to be honest, like of course we do have a pretty hefty, you know, celebrity clientele list, but no matter who you are, even if you are Beyonce, she might be able to tell me to do something and I might just say okay.
Yeah.
But other than that, other than Oprah maybe, but other than that, we vet them out and see if we match, you know, not to be rude.
Kind of like dating.
Yes. you got to be a good match. It's a long process, you know. It's a long process. I mean, furniture just alone without the construction. I was on a construction site today, this morning, and, you know, I'll complete that job next year. So I'll be working with this client way through next year. So you got to get along.
Wow, because do you start at the beginning of the house building sometimes?
Yes, most of the time.
So when is it usually clients that are building a home?
No, not always.
Or they
always
just bought a home?
Not, a lot. Like this client, she's actually in the music industry, but she is on the business side. She's a pretty powerful lady in that world. And I've done her house before. She's actually how I got into celebrities.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and now I'm on her third home for her. So yeah, we'll work together all year, and we work on from construction all the way through to the very, very end is how we like to work. But of course, some people already have homes that are done, and we'll do small renovations to make it fit what they want. And then down to the simple, like, online design, we have a program where if you're just getting started,
That's what we used.
Yes.
It was the best.
Yes, it's for a person that wants to start with a good foundation,
but not blow their bank.
Right, but not blow the bank. Mm-hmm. And it's that's a really fun process for a lot of people, just because they get aboard with the drawings and the products and everything, and then they get to order at their own pace.
And well, and this board is cool because it's so laid out. Basically, you send a email over, and there is a board of links with pictures. And then the whole map of how the room should look.
Yes.
And you can click on all of it and just order it.
Yeah.
It's just right
just
there, ready made.
Yeah.
It's like the best.
It's pretty great. it's pretty great. If it was my first home, you know, and I didn't want, and I was willing to put in the work, you know.
Yeah, totally.
A large reason why we're on projects from beginning to end for celebrities is they're gone all the time.
Right.
You know, and even my non-celebrity clients, they're busy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually if you're hiring a designer full time, you've made it somewhat in the world and you're busy. You
right.
know what I mean? You do not have time. So, I mean, we even worry down to like, oh my gosh, they're getting home, is the toilet paper on all the rolls? I mean, like, literally
it's
down.
It's like ready-made.
They walk in and they get to go live, you know? My house looks horrible. I don't know that my house has toilet paper right now. I could not.
Hey, you can't do it all. But the clients are taken care of.
They're taken care
of. Their toilet paper is on the roll.
Yeah. My husband the other day said, can you just like not work for 6 months and get our house together? And I was just like, that sounds awesome. But no, that's not going to happen.
So who would be your dream celebrity client?
Oh, gosh. That is a great question. Do you know what? I don't know. I mean, someone crazy like Madonna.
Yes.
Like, that would be, because in country music, it's really heavily male dominated. We just got Kelsea Ballerini, and she's a great, you know, new addition to our process.
That's amazing. She's got fun
great
style.
She's so fun. And she's young, and we've got a long road, you know, hopefully ahead with her, and we'll get to see that process grow. But Madonna, I have a lot of male clients because there's a lot of male country singers. We all know that. There's not very many, you know, the women are starting to rise up. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a lot of men. So I would love a female. I would love to do, I'm known for a little more masculine. I would love to do super, like, kind of girly. But my style is edgy all the time. So I feel like Madonna would really like me.
I think she would.
Maybe not. Maybe she would hate me. But I feel like that would be a really fun.
Like, push yourself outside of the box.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Actually, today, the client that we had today, she's pretty edgy. And she said, no black and white, no gray, none of it. And
that's your specialty.
That's kind of like what we do a lot of.
Because you have very clean.
Clean. Yeah, and
white.
So I was in the car with my team. I have three girls that
no
work
black and white, no
me.
Gray.
No black and white, no gray. So I told the team, they're concepting while I'm gone. I've already started the kickoff of the concepting, but I showed them everything, and I said, this is the time you got to push yourself. Don't show me anything that's black or white or gray. And you know that's hard, cuz everybody, you know, production of furniture is usually in those those colors. So it'll be really fun.
So do you enjoy having boundaries like that are like, okay, we're not doing black, white, and gray? Do you like having to think outside?
Because this client, I know what she's going for, and I can see it.
And you like her style.
And I like her
style. So it's a match.
Yes. It's not traditional or anything. She's not like saying, hey, do it traditional for me. She's saying, I want funky. I want over the top. you know what I mean? And I don't want black, white, or gray. And of course, there's going to be
some black,
of that.
White,
yeah. But she knows me well, and she's saying, give me something different. And you know, when you do it every single day, just like anybody's business, anybody that works anywhere, because I used to have an office job as well. And when you go in that environment or any environment, you want to shake it up. You want to change. I feel the same way, you know.
Yeah, so that's exciting.
Yeah, it is. It gets really exciting when I hear projects like that. So, and then when people ask for exactly what I do, of course they're going to get a good product, because I know exactly, you know, it's easy to navigate for me at this point, you know. So,
what is your nightmare color palette and like design palette? Like if you had to, you walk into a room and you're like, I'm in hell. What does that look like?
I don't know. I don't know, because I've seen good with that too. Anything that's like that royal blue color. Like I've seen a lot
of
things.
This whole room is royal blue, right?
Yes. Basically, the room we're in, I hate.
This is how.
I'm in hell, guys. There's a lot of green and purple and blue. This is a set, thank the Lord.
Where do you gather your inspiration for designing? Where did you learn how to design?
So that's a really interesting story. So I was raised with a single mom.
Okay.
And we barely had a pot to pee in. We really did not have much.
Was it just you and your mom?
And my brother.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Were you close to your brother?
Yes. And so my dad left very early on, and my mom's just the sweetest. I mean, there could not be a better woman. So she did real estate. She ran my grandfather's plumbing company, and she got her contractor's license and was building homes when I was a kid. So we didn't have money for babysitters, so we would just kind of have to like go with her everywhere. So I would have to go on her listings, and I would just be sitting there. And she says I was like 8 or 9, and I would start moving furniture around.
Like you knew where you wanted it to go.
Yes, I knew. You know, I did. And then one day she actually came in. We were at home unsupervised, because that's when you do when you're poor and you don't have any money for babysitters. Probably not a good thing. I can't imagine leaving Everly, but I was left, and she got home, and me and my brother had painted like half of her room as high as we could reach. And we were like 8 or 9 years old. So I was always doing things like that. So, I think it was just that, you know, I would be embarrassed when people would come over, because we just didn't have a lot like of stuff on the walls. It just didn't feel homey to me. It just didn't. And you know, she did the best that she could.
Right.
But so I really have a passion when people come in that they feel like they're at home. You know, people don't. It's not a materialistic job. It's not as materialistic as you would think, because, you know, having a space, like when I think of my space for my daughter, you know, the thing I want her to feel is safe.
Right.
I want her to feel like it's hers.
Right.
I want her to always feel like she can come back. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
And I want her to have pieces that aren't going to be thrown away.
Like, yes.
I want her to have pieces that she remembers, you know? And so it's very hard to design in a way that's going to kind of last mm-hmm. and be cool right now. So I really try to do both of those things. It wasn't like a materialistic wanting to get into design. It was like probably more of like a insecurity or a need or
And then just sort of growing up,
different.
Seeing your mom.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Doing that.
Yeah, and you know, I think design comes naturally to people. Obviously, I'm trained, but
you go to school to learn?
Yeah, and so... one of my main designers is not, and we interviewed a lot of people, and she has the knack. She has it, and I think I get a lot of direct messages about how people can get in, and I would always encourage everybody to go to school and learn.
Okay, so that is essential.
I mean? Yeah, even if you don't get a degree, you need to at least go to some classes, because a lot, like this morning alone, I've been on the phone with electricians and plumbers, and you really need to know a house, and like you can't really. I'm heavily insured, because when we do renovations, obviously you need to be able to do those renovations with confidence and know what you're doing. You don't want to get into someone's house and interrupt their way of life. And I've seen that happen. But I do feel like aesthetics are a natural thing. It really is hard to teach.
You either have it or you don't.
Yeah, I think so. Again, like I've never hired and like carried someone that was a bad designer through my process, but you know, like I said, my main girl, she does not have a degree, and she's a and she never went to one class, but she did build her own home.
So she
before
knew. Okay.
From scratch, from the ground
so
up.
So she learned. She kind of had like.
She learned. She really did. And now, as far as like Nashville obviously has the most cranes in the sky, it's hard to get permits here. It's hard to do work here. She knows codes and everything. So oh. she, yeah.
So she kind of did her own little schooling.
Yeah, she did. Mm-hmm. She did. So you at least have to, you know, start there. But I tell everybody how I got actually started is.
And did you just start off with your own business? Because you're only 35 and you're running a yeah. thriving business.
Yeah. So actually, I don't think she would care that I say this, but her name's Mary Hilliard. She is the house that I'm doing that I've been talking about. She's the one that introduced me to clients. But she's also was a mentor very early on because she owns her own very successful business. And I remember I was leaving my full-time job and I called her and I was already doing Jason's house. And she was the one that was like, you cannot do a 40-hour work week and this on the side. And I called her. I was like, I'm going to be working at like some furniture store and I don't want to. And she's like, no, you won't. So I think it's everybody that starts their own thing, it's a huge risk.
You know? It is.
It's
did
scary.
You start your own thing right at the beginning, or did you already have some houses under your belt?
Oh, I had houses under my belt.
Okay.
I worked.
Were you with another company originally?
Yes, and I was doing like a bunch of set design stuff and design for them, but I had a salary, you know?
And that's secure. And that feels secure.
Yeah. And
then you're like, oh, let me dive into the world.
Yeah, so I would work till like, oh my gosh, like 2 a.m. Like, thank God those clients would let me stay in their house because they were gone or whatever. And I would work throughout the night, and then one day it became, I'd already brought on that first designer that I have mentioned previously.
Within the company you're working with?
Yes, and we would meet, sorry for the company I was working for before, but we would meet on my lunch break.
Oh, so you were already kind of secretly starting your
yes.
other one? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, okay.
Yes.
Hey, you got to get gotta going.
Got to do what you got to do.
Got to do it.
Got to do it. And so, sorry about that, but we would meet on my lunch break. And talk about the, you know, what clients we had going on or whatever. And then finally one day I was just like, I have to quit. I have done enough work. But, you know, since you've heard my story and kind of where I come from, it's hard to walk away from a salaried thing.
Oh,
my gosh. I mean, my mom was like, are you crazy?
That feels crazy.
Yes. Because I had no fallbacks. So, like, there's nobody to help me out if I didn't make it. Like, literally.
You're sinking or swimming.
Sinking or swimming. And that's a legit. It would be me getting my car, driving back to Memphis, and living with my mom. That would be my backup plan.
Okay, so luckily it went opposite.
It went opposite.
You killed it. But how do you feel in that moment where you quit your job, you have this nice paying salary job, you know, it's probably very respectful, you could stay there forever.
Yeah.
How does it feel in that moment where you're like, okay, I'm going to jump and take this leap of faith. To me, that's like really going for your calling, like pursuing it with your full heart. And you're like, okay, I'm like flying out over this ledge. And I pray to God, I got a parachute. Like, what does that feel like? Do you remember that?
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah. No, I do. I cried the whole way home. I was just like, there's just, you know, there.
How did you know it was time?
Because I was so overworked. I was so overworked and I wasn't doing anything justice. You know, it wasn't fair to my employer, obviously. And oops. And it also, it wasn't fair to the clients. Like, I knew that I could be faster, more efficient. The design's still the same, right? But there is a method to an interior design business. I mean, we have a process, and that process works. And it's not just about flying into your house and saying,
what is the process?
So if it's a regular client, we have our first initial meeting where we walk their home or whatever. We do not shop with clients. It's not something that we do. Some people do it.
That's probably a lot of wasted time.
It is.
It's probably better for you to talk to them, get their vision.
We fully concept.
Then you send ideas.
Yes, we fully concept. They come into our office, and we do full presentations with all of our samplings. And
do they say yes, yes, yes,
no, everything.
No, no?
We always give them time. We always give them time. We never ask for any responses. Actually, we ask for no responses. And then they're able to go home, talk to whoever they need to talk to, think about it. And then we always just ask them to kind of circle what they like. And you know, we can tell kind of what we've hit the mark on and what we've missed the mark on. And once we've established on what we're going to do, if there's renovations involved, we start there. If it's just furniture planning, we have a whole ordering process. We have a way that we order, a place that it's sent, install, period of time, like, and it's all scheduled. And so they kind of know what's going to happen exactly down to the day, basically.
And it usually stays on schedule.
We are pretty well known for staying on schedule because I'm can be a little bit of a bitch when it comes to not being
on. But women get that rep, but it's not, bitch. It's just being, running a business.
Yeah. Well,
you want it done when it's supposed to be done.
Yeah. And it, you know, design and construction can be really loose. It can be really loose. And,
oh, my gosh. We built a garage. Yeah. It's supposed to be done in 3 months. It was done in 8 months.
Oh, yeah. 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 I mean, that's just kind of, and I hate that because, you know, really, we do set realistic expectation, though. I would say that that's key. That's how we stay on time. We never, like, if a client comes to me and, like, I want this done in 2 months, I'm like, find somebody else. It's not happening.
That's awesome. You're honest and upfront about what you can deliver.
No, I could deliver something. It's not going to be good, and you're going to call me back in, like, you know, a couple months and, you know, have problems here and there. And because, you know, experience teaches you that, too. So, but, yeah, so we have a pretty thorough process. And sometimes I'll look at Keaton, who is, she's not the designer girl I was telling you about, but she's like my right hand. She, if you want to know something that's going on in your job, every client knows to not call me, to call Keaton.
Talk to Keaton.
And Keaton, I'll every once in a while be like, what, you know, what does our waiting list look like? And it's that poor kid coming out of me, like I'm about to be eating ramen noodles or something. But she's like, would you chill out?
Like, because you want to make sure there's a nice waiting
list.
Yeah,
like, do people still want to do this? Like, so, so yeah, so she's just like, April, you're fine. Like, it's fine. We've got clients for days. Just breathe and relax. And so what's great is now that I have a daughter, she quickly has become way more important than work for me.
How is that, being a career woman and a mother? Tell me about that balance.
I love it. I love it.
How do you make it balanced?
So at the beginning, my mom came to watch her, and she ended up developing rheumatoid arthritis, and so now she just kind of comes as is. But we are actually surrounded with people that watch our kids that are family. It's not my sister-in-law. It's like my sister-in-law, but she watches her.
That's awesome.
I'm not going to lie. The lady that cleans my house, who's like my family, she watches her some
too. That's awesome.
But she's like in the hands of people that genuinely
love her.
So I'm able to, but you know, I have friends and they go and their kids go to daycare, and I mean, it's just single moms. I'm working moms. I have it very easy.
You've got great support.
I have great support. I work. We have a whole big office in my home.
So you can work from home? So someone can watch your child you're there.
I try not to go down because she obviously wants her mom before anybody else, and it really creates this, like the person that's watching her is like, really, seriously, get out of here. Because now I'm left with the baggage when you leave.
Screaming
so,
baby.
Yeah, and so I try to really, you know, just work. But you know what? Rachel Zoe is like a huge
idol. I love her.
Love.
Is that one of your inspirations?
Yeah. Love her. And I read her book, gosh, when I was in my younger 20s. And
what did you learn from that book?
Well, I learned a lot about fashion because it was all about fashion. But then, you know, I watched the whole show when she was considering getting pregnant and, you know, all these different kinds of things. And I read some statement that she said, you know, years later, and she just said, I am so much more efficient. And that's what happens.
That makes sense because you can't just lollygag.
No.
And, like, what would take 10 minutes and just do an hour to do it. You have to do it in the 10 minutes.
Yeah, so, you know, our office vibes have changed a smidge because, you know, we used to chitty chat a little bit more, and now it is like, you know, 9 to 5, I'm walking out that door at 5, so we got to get everything done by then. And we do. We get it done.
Yeah.
Of course, I've hired more people and things like that, which has made, I'm so glad I waited to a little bit later to get pregnant and have a baby. But yeah, it's efficiency. You as a mom, like I'm actually think to myself sometimes, I'm like, did I do all that? I'm pretty sure I did. I'm pretty sure I did that.
I'm a badass.
Kinda, yeah, that's what I think. But you know what? I think that every woman that works or doesn't work, I take Thursdays off. Hardest day of my life. Hardest day of my life. It's way harder.
It is. Like, having a child all day is so exhausting, right?
Yeah, and so I challenged
Thursdays off.
Yeah, I really wanted some uninterrupted time. I don't take phone calls. You can ask my clients. They get super annoyed.
But that's a great balance that you've worked into your life.
And so I have Thursdays with Everly, and, of course, the weekends. My personal life, I have none. It's just Everly and work and my husband right now. But, with Everly on Thursdays, it's obviously amazing. But if you are a mother, you know what I'm saying. It is the hardest thing because they sleep and then they play. And
they don't stop.
Yeah, we were on the floor playing, like, and I'm thinking, I've got to be more creative in that day than I ever do doing anyone's home, because it's like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do next?
So, totally, because they need they need constant stimulation.
Oh yeah, all of my clients right now are pregnant, and they're all like, how do I hide all this crap? I'm like, you don't. You can try. I'll give you 2 months, and then we'll rediscuss. I've got 3 jumpers in my living room, and that's so something that you should not say as a mom. Because you don't just stick your kids in jumpers all the time. But I don't. Let me
clarify.
I do not stick my child in a jumper all day long. But she likes different ones. And now she likes to hold on to the edges and, like, explore in between the 3. So they're just literally, like, in my living room with a pack and play, with the toys. And I'm like, welcome to my home.
Come on in. I love it.
It's Babies R Us in here.
It is. I'm telling you, everyone I know is having babies. It's baby season.
Baby season.
And I love you, because you have found a balance where you still have your career, your marriage, everything, a child. And I think that is absolutely incredible to see a woman doing that.
Thank you.
Because it's hard.
It's hard. It's hard. It might be harder to be a stay-at-home mom, but it's also hard to work and be away from your kids. And, you know, I just deal with, you have a lot of guilt. You have all these different factors.
No, mom guilt's a legit thing, isn't it?
Oh, it's a real thing. It's a real thing.
And there's guilt about everything, right?
I always tell myself, I'm like, good Lord, my mom worked 3 jobs. We had nothing. And I love her more than, I mean, she is just right on up there with Everly and my husband. They're all on the same line for me. And she did not stay home with me. She did not coddle me. She did not baby me. She couldn't, you know?
Yep.
And so I think about my daughter and the privileged life that I live, honestly. And I think, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're working. It doesn't matter if you're staying at home. Like, your kid, if you love them, they're going to love you right back, and they're not going to remember. And so anytime I'm gone for, you know, 8 hours during the day or whatever, I just say to myself, she is going to one day appreciate this.
And she's going to appreciate that you worked hard and that you had a passion and you followed through with it.
And maybe she wants to be a designer, and hell, that would be pretty
great. What if
we
went to business together?
Yeah. My other designer just had a little girl, and we always talk about, we're like, what if my daughter's name is Everly and her daughter's name is Serena? And we're like, what if Everly and Serena, like, one day took this over? I'd be out, and I'd be in the Caribbean. And
would that not be heaven?
Yeah. That, I always tell my husband, he's like, "What are you ever thinking about quitting?" And I'm like, yeah, when Everly takes over, I'll quit.
That's perfect. So you love it. Like, do you need this to be yourself?
I think so. I need, again, I think because of where I come from, like, I need to, I don't know how to say this without sounding like I need therapy, but
we all need therapy. I love therapy.
But exactly.
I lived in therapy straight for you.
I like to know that I'm contributing. Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
I like,
because you know you're able to.
Yeah, I like to say, hey, honey, I'm getting this light for our dining room. And then that's the end of the story.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting this light for our dining room.
Right.
You know, I don't want to ask. And he would give freely and
gladly.
But I like to be in a position where I just don't. I can provide. I can fend for myself. And again, that's where I come from. That's what I saw.
Totally.
So, you know.
I think that's great, though.
Therapist hit me up. I probably need to talk through that. But
well, you found something you love, though,
and
too.
I do. And I wouldn't probably do any job and sacrifice my time with my child if I didn't have to be honest. But this is something that I just don't. Actually, one of the conversations that my husband and I had was, yes, I could totally quit. Think about how much money I would spend in our house. If I was here all day looking at everything.
It's like, best I'm looking at other people's houses.
Totally best that I'm looking at other people's houses.
And getting paid for it.
Yeah, because I can see something that I love and I'm like, ooh, that should go there. Versus, ooh, this should come with me.
Yes.
And he's like, great point, April. I was like, yeah, I'm saving a lot of money.
Uh-huh.
Outside of the money I'm bringing in, I'm saving as a whole lot of money. So, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to wrap up. Before I do that, what's your best experience, the best experience you had designing a house and the worst experience? Do you have any that come to mind?
Gosh.
Like one that just set you on fire, like happiness.
Yeah. So I've had, actually, they're kind of all in a tie, and they all have the same exact denominator, which is a client that trusts the vision and that will
That's your best.
Just let up the reins. the clients that are the happiest and the experiences that I've had where I'm the everybody's the happiest is when they don't quite get it. You know, like, it's your home. I get it. Like, I would want to know everything that was going on. I would want to know down to the candle what I'm paying for and what was coming into my house. The best experience, though, are when people, and it's usually on their second home, third home, when they're like, you go. I trust you. And they mean it. And they don't ask any questions. And then they come home or they go through the experience. And it's kind of, it is a lot more flawless. And so that would be my best.
Because you can stay fluid with your vision. It doesn't get like little roadblocks, like choppy.
Yeah, chopped up. Yeah, it can get really chopped up.
It's a flow experience for you, probably.
It's a flow. That's what I tell everybody. Your house should honestly, from the time you walk through the front to the back, it should feel...
Like an ocean wave?
Yeah, it should. You should feel like you're going through... That's some of the most impressive homes to me is when you walk from the front to back and every room's different, but every room's the same.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You feel like you're in the same home, but every room's so different.
Yes.
And that there's a creative element, something that you know, you haven't seen before that's not like the number one pin on Pinterest.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are my favorites, and there's a couple that's happened for. My worst is when the team, like, so, you know, you've got contractors, architects, designers, and then all your subs, and you know, you have to work as a team. And I just got off this one job, man, and it was a disaster because the contractor was not from Nashville, so they were hired out from somewhere else, and they came on, and it was just woo, it was bad, and there was a lot of money wasted
to work together.
It wasn't that. There's a lot that goes into it. A lot of things that were happening that shouldn't have been happening. And, you know, there's a lot of rules when you're designing and you're building. And those rules were being broken. And, of course, I've been with a client for a long time. And so I was the one that has to bring all that to light. And those are really hard conversations. That contractor's no longer on the job and we're continuing with another contractor. But it was pretty, it made me sick to my stomach. Some of the conversations, you know, when things go wrong in a house, it can cost tens of thousands of dollars.
Yes.
And those conversations, when you see it happening or you're even a part of it or whatever's going on, they're gut-wrenching. Like, you can lose sleep at night because it's, you know, you rip out things and there's mold everywhere. You can tell people that up front, but then it's like you never
think
it's going
to
happen to you.
No one's ever excited about it or probably in a good mood about it.
No, right. And you know, and I just had this door that got made and it was supposed to be beautiful and it's not. And it's so expensive. But, you know, the great thing is when you establish your company, you do have money to move. And so, obviously, I eat that cost because I'm in charge.
Right.
But it's hard to get that phone call. And thank God it's just a door. I mean, I've seen it be whole rooms, not for me, but for other people. And I, you know, it was just a door. We'll eat it. We'll change it or whatever. But as a business owner, you have to have a lot of conversations with a lot of different people. You're yelling at one person over here from the door, and then you're having to eat crow over here and totally take the blame because, you know, I didn't make the door. I as soon as I saw it, I brought it, you know, I fixed it, but I still am responsible. And so those are some super hard conversations. Some of the clients, like Thomas Rhett and Lauren Rhett, and they're Aikens, they're such solid people. And
because
they go and they, you know, see other third world countries, they're the easiest people because
they're so loving in their heart. They know how
blessed they
are. They
just know what's important and what's not. And I did Willa's room. And
because they adopted the sweetest little baby.
Yeah.
Was it from Haiti?
Yeah. Yeah, and so, you know, she's calling.
Oh, you gave it to her pro bono? You just did it as a gift?
Yeah, but I did her room, and, you know, she just called me, and she was just like, you know, these are the things that I want to, you know, I want to be a part of it, but you do you. And we did, and they loved it. And so she gets it that it's just, you know, and no stress. You know, she came home, a couple things weren't done. She's like, you know, it's
fine.
Love that. Willa Gray can sleep in my bed for a while if she has to, you know. So it's the perspective is great because of what they see and where they go and travel and stuff.
That's
so pretty
true.
Cool. Yeah.
Just having a good perspective about what really matters.
We all lose it. We all lose perspective.
You want a great house, but at the end of the day, we're not dying of cancer here.
Right.
Yeah.
Luckily, you know, with where I come from and everything, I still have that family. I didn't lose them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're the sweetest people ever, but I gained perspective very quickly because, you know, they don't have everything and they never will. And so I'm always, you know, very reminded that not all of us get to live with designers and, you know, people that they hire to do their houses. And so it's good to have that. And if you don't have it, go find it.
I agree.
You know.
Okay, so the last question.
Yeah.
After everything you've lived through, all that you've done and accomplished, everyone that you've seen and worked with, leave your light. So leave some inspiration of how you have been inspired or how you would like to inspire people.
You know, it's going to sound really weird, but I live pretty simply as far as some people find it so fascinating when they walk into my closet because I just don't have a lot of clothes. Because if I'm not wearing them and I see anybody, I just give them all away. And you could ask any friend of mine, they're like, can I borrow something? I'm like, yeah, you could. There's not a lot here. And so I would say that is something that I always try to remember, because in the world of interior design, it can be super materialistic, and you know, you can get caught up in things that are just really just don't matter. So I always, what I try to do in reality, like not some big slogan because I don't remember slogans, but in reality, like I always just kind of look around, and whether it's my housekeeper or whether it is someone else's, or I have friends that are teachers who have four underprivileged schools, and I'll just go through my closet and go through my life and just take all of the crap and just send it away. You know what I mean? I don't need a tax write-off for it. I don't have to give it to something where I'm going to receive something. It's just I just give it away. And I'm saying it now because you asked, but I would say the other most important thing is to do it quietly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Is to do things a little more quietly, because I just feel like that's how you receive your rewards in heaven, is to do things quietly. And so you don't have to be a known philanthropist to be able to, you know, give things away. And another pet peeve that I have as far as giving things away is when I hear people say, I will not give that homeless person money because he's probably going to drink. I literally want to die every time I hear that, because it's not really any of
our business.
And if they do, you know what? I would probably drink every day, too, if that was my position in life.
Right.
And, you know, it's my responsibility to give. It's not my responsibility to
assign how they use
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
April Tomlin. Saint April Tomlin.
Shit, that's not true. Not true.
You are amazing. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You're incredible.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for giving me an hour of your time. I know you're so busy. I know you loved that interview. How inspiring is April? She is the best. You guys, get excited. I have YouTube sensations, Megan and Liz, joining me next week. These two girls are not, I think they're not even 25 yet. They have their own clothing line. They have their own brand on YouTube. They are killing it. A new single out called Habit. The way they have navigated this YouTube world blows my mind, and we talk all about it. You will not want to miss them. They have over 1 million subscribers on YouTube. What? They're incredible. See you next week. Don't forget to subscribe.